Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 21 of Isaiah. I'll start out by reading it and then we'll come back and discuss it. Verse 1, the burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it comes from the desert from a terrible land. A grievous vision is declared unto me. The treacherous dealer deals treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman that travails. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted, fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure has he turned into fear to me. Prepare the table, watch in the watchtower, eat, drink, arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. For thus hath the Lord said to me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, a lion! My Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime, and I am set in my ward whole nights. And behold, here comes a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he answered and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her gods he has broken to the ground. O my threshing and the corn of my floor, what have that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared unto you? The burden of Duma, he calls to me out of Seir, watchman of the night, watchman of the night. And the watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire ye, return, come. The burden upon Arabia, in the forest of Arabia shall ye lodge, O ye traveling companies of Dedanim. The inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. For they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword, and from the bent bow, and from the grievousness of war. For thus hath the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of a hireling, and all the glory of Kedar shall fail. And the residue of the number of archers, the mighty men of the children of Kedar, shall be diminished. For the Lord God of Israel has spoken it. Now let's go back and look at this thing. It's not a big chapter, but it has some good stuff in it. We know that this is something internal, don't we? We know this is talking about things in us. And this first verse, some of these things are said, and I mean, if you would just think with your mind about what's stated, you would realize that there's no way in interpretation that this is worded correctly. It doesn't make any sense. It says, the burden of the desert of the sea. I'm going to tell you, there ain't no deserts in the sea. There's no physical desert in the sea. So we know that we're talking something spiritual here, aren't we? And like I say, this is personal. This is internal. And it should say, not the burden, but the oracle spoken concerning the desert. Now, what is a desert spiritually?
A dry place.
Something else. Keep going.
Lacking in the water.
What is it?
I said more like a dry spot.
Okay. There's the word I was looking for. There you brought it out. Test. Isn't the desert the testing place? Jesus went through the desert for 40 days and 40 nights on his testing, correct? So look here. So it's the oracle of the desert or the place of testing of the sea. And what is the sea? It's humanity. So the testing of humanity is what we're talking about. This is concerning the testing of humanity. That would be us, wouldn't it? Okay? It's your personal test that you walk through. What's the purpose of them? For you. So for you. It says, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it comes from the desert. So it cometh the desert. It comes from the desert, a terrible place, or literally a fearful place. Now, the land is a fearful place. What place are we talking about?
The mind.
The mind. Hello. See, well, now we get the picture of this thing, how it's going internal. We're talking about all these things happening in the mind. And when the mind begins to work these cherubim that we talked about at the Garden of Eden, right? Guess what? those imaginary creatures or creatures of imagination. Guess what? They're not real. They're just imaginations. And when they begin to work on you, God created them very, very efficient. Very efficient. They can work on you. And if you're not aware of what's going on, that this is God testing you and proving you and bringing you through the experience to solidify who you are, you can really panic. You can really fold to the pressures of these experiences, these whirlwinds passing through.
It's squeezing the blood out of the brain.
What do we call that word? It's a touchstone. The touchstones, you know, out of the Revelation. It's the wine press out of the Old Testament, you know, that pressure putting on us to make us see what comes out, see? The good wine should come out, that revelation. Okay, verse 2, it said, a grievous vision is declared to me. It is grievous to you when you're going through it. Yeah, but I mean, when your mind tells you something, boy, it's tough to back out of that, isn't it?
Well, when that's all you focus on is all the wrong and perceived wrong.
The wrong perceived ideas, right.
You'll see it's all that you'll draw to you.
Sure. You're cultivating that in your mind because you're paying attention. You're giving attention to it, aren't you? So, it says, the vision is declared to me, the treacherous dealer deals treacherously. Did he say he was going to change? He's showing you, he's exposing you, the treacherous dealer. Who is the treacherous dealer? Your carnal mind.
The
carnal mind, the accuser of the brethren, see? The Satanas, the Diabolos, the accuser or the false accuser. Those things are never going to change. You're the one that's supposed to change, correct?
Come out from among them.
And be a separate people. It says, go up, O Elam. What does the word Elam mean? Anybody know what it means?
Like the flesh?
No. Elam speaks of hidden, a secret. Okay? And to us, it is a secret who we really are. Is it not? Isn't it really a secret to us when we begin who we really are?
That's why we're seeking our identity.
We're buried in this flesh, see? We're covered up with all these cherubim, with these all these things going to us. That treacherous dealer dealing treacherously with us. Well, and the spoiler is spoiling everything. So we can't focus on going back to our Father. We're focused on our situations, aren't we?
Okay. So you can't see.
Keeps your focus off of the Christ and on the situations. And the situations don't mean anything. They're going to get you back to the Christ eventually.
Keeps you spiritually blind.
Absolutely. Smoke screens. That's all it is. But Elam, it says, besiege. O Elam, go ahead and besiege. O Media, and Media speaks of the middle land, all the sighing or the grief thereof I have made to cease. Now listen to this. The battle is the Lord's, isn't it?
Yep.
See, if we would realize, we'd come to this middle ground and just sit down and let God do what He wants to do. He's telling you, go ahead, besiege if you want to, Elam. But don't worry about it, because I have already, he said, thereof have I made to cease. He didn't say he was going to make it to cease, did he? So now everything that we're going through is an illusion. It's in our mind. We're struggling in the mind. He knew it from the very beginning. Therefore are my loins filled with pain, or literally terror. Pangs, and the word pangs is literally mental pressures. Mental pressures have taken hold upon me. Well, what else would take a hold of you?
Nothing else.
See? Only the mental pressures is the only thing that puts pressure on you. Have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a woman that travails. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed or literally terrified at the seeing of it. Now here's Isaiah saying, man, I was terrified at the sound of it, and then when I saw it, I was even more terrified. You know why he knew that? Because it was in him too.
Yeah.
He never saw that separate from himself. Isaiah saw that this was involved. All humanity goes through this. All humanity. He said, my heart, and we know that's his mind wandered, not panted, but wandered. Fearfulness or trembling overtook me, it says affrighted me, but overtook me. The night or the evening of my pleasure has he turned into anxiety. See, when you start focusing upon all your situations, when you should be, and right now, because of where Lois and I are in our place of life, we should be coming into that stage of life where we're thinking about retirements, we're thinking about enjoying life more, not struggling this after this many years. And you know what? Most people at our age right now are in sheer terror because of the economy of this world. My economy is not of this world. It's from God. See, our sufficiency is in Christ, not this. Just as Joseph was in Egypt and he was thrown in prison, you know, all the things done, put into Potiphar's house and thrown into prison, thrown in a pit. He was in all them places. A pit, Potiphar's house, and the prison, the three P's. Okay, he was in all those places, but he never forgot what God told him. He never panicked in the situations. So when all those terrors came at him, he remembered, and it said, what God spoke to him. And if we remember what God speaks to us, then when all these things come on, they'll just be like water off a duck's back. It doesn't make any difference because of what God says to us, right? So when we get there, let me get back to where I was at. When we get back to realizing that our time of pleasure should be just that. If I'm trusting God, should the world situation take me off of what I want to do?
Absolutely not.
See, absolutely no. We should be able to go on, and I'm going to say this with all boldness, this economy we went into has not changed my lifestyle. It has not changed anything in my lifestyle. And I mean, that's not bragging. I'm just stating a fact. It hasn't. Has your guys' lifestyles changed?
Actually, for the better.
For the better. Right? We're being blessed right in the middle of the rest of the world falling down. And that's a perfect pattern of living in Goshen. The Jews were living in Goshen, and when all the curses of Egypt came upon the land, Goshen never got struck by those things.
That's because Fox News is planning.
Well, I don't think Fox News had anything to do with back there.
But I mean, at this point now, yeah. I mean, people are watching the news the news media, which is enforcing that terror.
And it's their source, and not the source from God. So they're taking it from the news media, and that's the case they're in. And you'd be surprised how many people get up in the morning, and their day is not complete until they hear all the negative things to talk about.
Well, the news, that's how they're making their money.
Well, sure.
Getting some
merchandising everybody. Get everybody's emotions up, you know. So we got to realize this is a time that we should be living pleasantly. You know, we should be a pleasant time in our lives. You know, when we have our children up and raised, you know, all this stuff going on, now we should be living very, very well.
You know what? The brick banking is scary.
Yeah. Most of the church people still got that clay underneath, that red clay under their fingernails.
You're in Goshen, you're drawing near God, and the brick banking's being left alone.
Yeah, let the brick makers make the bricks. They're still working for Pharaoh in the church.
Yeah.
Verse 5, look what he says. Prepare the table. Prepare the meal. Watch in the watchtower. Eat and drink. Arise, ye princes, and anoint the shield. He said, hey, if you think you've got to, go ahead and arise and anoint the shield. What do you think anointing the shield represents? Preparing to go to battle.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It says grab your shields. Or
yeah.
Get ready for
preparing your defense.
Preparing your defense instead of letting God be your defense. See what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're supposed to trust God, then we shouldn't be in a defensive mode, should we? God will take care of it. Whatever we're supposed to experience, then let it come.
You're still wanting ego to be in control.
Absolutely. Fear, see? That fear is there. Verse 6. Because thus has the Lord said to me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. Well, wonder who the watchman is.
Christ.
It's the Christ. He's the watchman on the wall. And he says, and he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels, and he hearkened diligently with much heed. So he paid attention to what was going on. He saw the beast nature. He saw man working his beast nature, okay? And he cried, a lion. He did not. That word lion isn't supposed to be there. It should say, then cried the prophet. We're not talking, he never said anything about it. The word lion is no concept in the language. They just added that one in there, and I don't know where they jerked that one. Yeah, I do. From that pit. They got it from the pit. He said, then cried the prophet, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower daily, not in the daytime, but daily. And I am set in my post, not ward, but post, every night. So he's on duty all the time.
24/7.
See, the only watchman that can do that is Christ. You can't do it when you're asleep, when you're doing other things. You can't be the watchman. It's the Christ within you.
Well, I like the Living Bible. It says, this is it.
Yep, that's it.
This is it?
That's it.
This is what I'm worried about?
That's it. Doesn't mean a thing, does it? Let God take care of it. Verse 9 goes on and says, and behold, here comes a chariot of men with a couple of horsemen. And he responded and said, Babylon is fallen, and all the graven images of her God he has broken to the ground. Boy, now this is beautiful. He said, and the watchman responded and said, Babylon is fallen. Is a present tense word. I don't care when you say it, it's still presently. So he said, right now, as you're hearing this truth, guess what's fallen? Babylon. It's religious confusion by mixing. It's like being double-minded, James said in James 1 and 8. A double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. See? So you can't say, okay, I got a little bit of it, I'm in good shape. As long as I've got two thinking processes, I'm in trouble.
Confusion.
See, it's confusion. It's double mixed, double-minded. Okay?
He's actually saying the light's come in the darkness because it was at night
whenever
he declared it.
That's right. But it's coming. See, the days are coming. Now, verse 10, and oh, I go on some here, more from there. It says, Babylon has fallen, and look at the word all. All the graven images of her God, her speaking of religion, Babylon, the church system. All of her gods he has broken to the ground. He's beat them down to the ground. That means they're no longer seated in high places, are they? They're the dust of the earth now. They're down on the ground. What he's telling you right there, he's gave you what Ezekiel said, that new heart transplant.
Resurrection.
He's took the old one out and put the new one in. And God did it. Now we step on to 10. He says, oh my threshing. That's not correct. That word threshing right there should say, oh my downtrodden people. I don't know where they got this threshing thing at. Anyway, and it says, cross out that word and right there after threshing, because that word isn't supposed to be there either. It should say it this way, oh my downtrodden people. And it says, the corn of my labor. No, it doesn't say that. It says, the son. It's the word bane, B-A-N-E. It's number 1121 in the Hebrew dictionary. Strong's number. It's the word bane. It means sun. Now, how can you get corn out of sun? Where did somebody come up with something like that? Not going to go on that issue. But the son of my what? What's the word floor? It literally says, the son of my threshing floor. Hello, whose threshing floor was it? Huh? What'd you say? God, it's God's threshing floor. And guess what? We're the sons of the threshing floor. Guess what goes on the threshing floor? You get the crap knocked out of you. See? You get that grain and beat it and thresh it and get all the bad stuff away from it. It's the sifting. It's the winnowing of the truth of the mind. Okay? All that carnality is being sifted out. But this is his son, see? God's doing it. We're not giving the credit to no devil. God is doing it. And he said, that which I have heard of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have I declared to you. See what my job is? It's only to declare what God says. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I got to say it. Like Jeremiah said, it's like fire in my bones if I don't speak it. Got to say it. And they got to deal with it then. It's theirs. Done my job. I don't have to enforce it. I just have to deliver it. Verse 11, the burden, or again, whenever you see that word burden, it should be the oracle, or the oracle concerning Duma. Duma means silence. He calls me out of Seir. Seir speaks of rough, hairy, shaggy. It speaks of Esau and Edom. So what are we really talking about?
Flesh.
We're talking about the flesh. He calls me out of Seir, the flesh. And he says, watchman. He's calling to me in the flesh. I'm in the flesh, and he's speaking to my spirit.
Come up
hither. There he is. Come on up. He's saying, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? What does night speak of?
Ignorance.
Ignorance or death. Come on up out of that death realm. Come on up here to the higher realms of God, into the realm of the Spirit.
Called Lazarus.
Yep. Come forth, Lazarus. Same thing. There's so many patterns to it. And the watchman said, the morning comes. What is the morning?
The day star.
It's the morning star. Okay? And also the night. See, the evening and the morning was the day before, right? The dark place, and it got darker, and then it got to the morning. But the morning and also a night. If you will not inquire, but if you will seek to return, right? And then it says, come. That's not what it should say. It should say, seek to return, you will arrive. Now, do you hear the positive in that word? You will arrive. He didn't say the church will arrive. He didn't say your denomination will arrive, did he? He didn't say your preachers will arrive, did he? He said you will arrive. If you seek, you will arrive. That's good news to me. All I have to do is seek.
Origin determines destiny.
That's right. I began in Him, and I'm seeking to get back to my Father. I'm trying to get back home.
God is faithful.
He'll bring it. He said, you will. You will.
Now,
you'll arrive.
Now that it's daylight, you can see how to go to your church.
It's morning. The morning has arrived, so now you can see what you're doing. So your mind is opened up. Verse 13. The burden upon Arabia. What is Arabia?
Is it a dry place too?
It's a desert. It's a desert. In the forest, it's the burden or the oracle spoken concerning Arabia, the place of testing again. In the forest in Arabia shall you lodge. I'm going to tell you something. In a desert, there's not a forest. Again, something's wrong with the picture, isn't there? See, your natural mind should even say, wait a minute. There's no forest out in the middle of these deserts. And what is Arabia noted for? Deserts. Deserts. Right? So, what's he really saying? So, the place of testing is in the forest. It's in the forest. What's the forest?
Humanity.
It's in humanity, the testing place. Once we step out of the humanity, we're into the what realm? The spirit. So, there's no more testing when we get through.
You're not in the world.
You're in the world, but you're not of the world. See, so we're in the forest. This is a burden upon the testing place. The forest in Arabia, in the desert. So humanity is in the desert place, and you shall lodge there, O you traveling companies of Dedan. Dedan means what? Dedanum means low country. See, we're in the lowly realms, but Paul said we're supposed to be seated in heavenly places, right? We're supposed to go up. We're supposed to be seated in heavenly places, not staying in that lower realm. It said, the inhabitants of the land of Tema brought water. What is Tema? Tema speaks of the desert. Again. But the inhabitants of the desert brought water to him that was thirsty. What is water?
The
Word of God. So somebody's surviving in that desert. You know, there's a lot of people that die in the desert.
It reminds me when the crow came and gave Elijah.
The food. Yeah, and water. Yeah. And see, in the desert, the inhabitants of the desert know how to survive in the desert, don't they?
They know where to get the water.
They know where to get the water. They know their sources, mm-hmm. and they survive. If we know our sources, what will we do?
Survive.
We'll survive.
And we know our source.
Who are the inhabitants?
The sons, the true sons, the first fruit.
Yep.
And it says, they brought the word to him that was thirsty. Now, key, if you're not thirsty, you're not going to be looking for a source, are you?
No, but if all these times through here, if you've been in that dry place that many times, you're looking for
You're looking for some water, I guarantee you. And they prevented with their bread him that fled. And that's not what it literally says. Now, what they did, they met him there with their bread, him that fled. So when they fled, And I understand what they're saying prevented. They gave him food and water to survive in the desert so he wouldn't flee from the desert. Do you know how many people flee from the testings? Too much pressure. Can't handle it. See? So they found a way to escape. But the inhabitants of the land, of the dead place of testing, will tell you, hey, look, it's okay. God's going to get you through this thing. He will provide what you need. See? And so that's what we're doing. We're giving them what they need, okay? With their bread, him that fled. So they actually prevented them. They did prevent them. I see what they're saying, but that's not literally that way in the language. They met them and gave them bread. If you're in the desert and you're thirsty and you're starving to death and someone gave you bread and water, do you think you're going to turn around and go the opposite direction once they give it to you?
No.
You're going to follow them like a little puppy dog in the morning when they're wanting to eat, huh?
Gives you a little strength to go on.
And you will follow the one who gave you the source, won't you?
Yeah.
And that's what he's trying to say. Didn't Paul say, mark those who follow Christ and follow them?
Yeah.
Okay. It's all through the book. It's the same way. But he's telling us way back here, and Paul, all Paul did was unveil what the Old Testament said. He didn't write anything new. He told you what the Old Testament already said. But he had a revelation of it.
Does not just enable
him? No.
Enable him to continue on?
To continue on, absolutely. Yep. But that's what Paul was doing. Paul just wrote and enabled us to go on by the bread he gave us. Verse 15. Because they fled from the what?
Sword.
What's the sword?
The word.
The word of God. From the drawn sword. Now, what word is that? The drawn sword. The active word of God. Didn't he say the word of God is active? In Hebrews 4 and 12, the word is active and sharper than a two-edged, but it literally says active and powerful. From what? The presence of. Should that word from, every time the word from is in there, it's like here three times, four times in here. Each time you should put this in there, the presence of. They fled the presence of the word, the presence of the active word, and the presence of the bent bow. What is a bent bow?
It's one that's ready for.
It's ready for action. But what does a bow represent?
Covenant.
Yeah, there you go. It's not negative in the fighting because we're talking about a new covenant. And so it's an active new covenant. It's ready to be used.
Mm-hmm. See? Once you have resurrection life,
it's ready to go. Mm-hmm. See, it's a new covenant. It's ready to be utilized. And cross out that word and in there. It shouldn't be there. From the bent bow or the covenant's ready to be used. From the presence of the grief of war. Why wouldn't you? See, for they fled because they fled from, this is what everybody flees from the presence of the word, from the active word, from the new covenant, and from the grief of war. Everybody's trying to get away from those things. But it's us. It's us, the flesh, trying to get away from the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's normal. I mean, that's what happens. Only if God didn't prepare a way for us with someone in the desert, just like John the Baptist, prepare you the way of him that's coming, you know. Someone was in that desert before you that God put there to provide a way for you to make it across that desert.
When you said that, that's the same thing. That was the oracle of John.
Sure.
Speaking to those in the wilderness.
Absolutely. He's one crying to one in the wilderness. I mean, that was John crying out then.
The Christ in John.
The Christ in John. The Christ in John was speaking to the deep and the one walking up the road in Jesus, the Christ in him. For thus saith the Lord unto me, within a year, and literally the word a year doesn't do it justice. It should say, within the years of a life. So what's he telling you? It's a lifetime. How many years is in your lifetime? No one knows, do we? See? And then the according to shouldn't be there. The words according to shouldn't be there. We read it the way it should be. Because thus has the Lord said to me, within the years of a life, or my life, the years of a hireling, and aren't we a hireling on this earth?
So we're done.
All, and cross out that word and there too. All the glory of Kedar, and Kedar speaks of darkness, ignorance, the son of Ishmael. Speaking about flesh, aren't we? Carnal mind.
If you think about it, he's thinking about the son that you thought you were.
But who you really are. And he says, by the time these years end, guess what? The son of Ishmael. Ishmael was the son of flesh, wasn't he? So all of his seed is flesh, isn't it?
Right.
So he's saying, all your carnality, by the time you come to the end of your life, through your years, guess what won't be there?
Flesh.
The flesh won't be there.
Or the darkness.
The fleshly thinking will not be there. We're talking spiritual stuff. And the residue of the number of archers, and that's warriors, the mighty, it's not mighty, it should be the might of the children of Kedar. That's just talking about the strength of Kedar, that's in ignorance and carnality, shall be diminished because the Lord of God of Israel has spoken it. Did it say it's because you went to an altar and slobbered on a board? Did it say because you asked God to forgive you? Did it say you was water baptized in Jesus' name or name of the Father or the Son or the Holy Ghost or all three or 15 other different translations of it? What did it say? Because God has spoken it. End of story. No more arguing, no more religion. Because God said it, carnality is going to cease. There's a coming a time at the end of our days on this earth when we have learned what God wants us to learn. It's over. It's over. No more fleshly thinking. And as long as we're here, we still got more to learn, don't we? I don't want to hear anybody saying, I have arrived, because I haven't arrived either. Neither has anybody else. If you've arrived, you're on your way out. If you arrived, you're about to leave.
You got it all.
Yes, when you think you got it under control, you're gone.
You're leaving.
Any questions or anything? That'd be enough for today.